I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Jude. We're going to bring a short message from God's Word tonight, and then we're going to conclude our service tonight with a time of prayer that we might pray for the projector to have a continued impact and be used of the Lord. Book of Jude. I want you to see this description. There are five Bible photos given to us here in verses 12 and 13 concerning false teachers. Five Bible photos of false teachers. You know, the FBI, if you go down to the local office or you go down to the mail office, you'll see a board there that has the top 10 FBI most wanted individuals. And they have photos there of what they look like, and they are desiring that you might see their photo and that you might call 911 or that you might call Crime Stoppers or the America's Most Wanted and let them know that they have been cited. I enjoy from time to time watching that show that's on one of the channels, I don't know. But they have been able to capture hundreds upon hundreds, and the photo ID was almost consistent with all of that. The photo ID was what allowed them to be captured, their picture. And the Bible gives us a photo ID of false teachers so that we might see them and we might know who they are and what they teach, that we might be warned. The projector is a ministry of warning. It also is a ministry of encouragement. We have articles by Aunt Carolyn every month that is a lesson, gospel lesson to boys and girls and to adults. We have Mrs. Pepper's article that deals specifically with Christian education. Mr. Opager's articles that deal specifically from lessons from the book of Proverbs, and these are encouraging. They admonish. But we also have the words of warning to alert people about what's taking place today, names that they need to be looking out for, that they need to be careful of. We try to research very carefully before we mention somebody's name, that we have the goods on them. We don't want to be foolish and say somebody's name and then have to go back and print a retraction. Thankfully, we've never had to do that in the projector. We've never had to go back and print a retraction on any article or on any individual that has been mentioned. And that's not to our credit, that's to the Lord's guiding hand. And we need to praise the Lord for that opportunity. But the Bible gives us five photos of false teachers that we might know and be able to be alert and examine and see, yes, that's what the Bible is saying. I want you to notice these, please, verses 12 and 13 here in the book of Jude. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now what is he talking about here? He's warning the people that he is writing to concerning false teachers. Now we need to understand this about the book of Jude. Jude in verse 3 says, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now Jude was burdened to write to these individuals, and he said, I was burdened to talk about our common salvation, but the Lord stopped me from doing that. Now this is instructive, folks. I had a conversation not too long ago, And a man mentioned this to me. He said, you know, we're spending too much time in our churches talking about other things. We need to just talk about Jesus all the time. And we need to talk about salvation. That's our message. We preach Jesus and salvation. And I challenged him. I said, well, what about what Paul told the Ephesian elders there at Miletus whenever he came ashore. And they came over from Ephesus, and he said, you're to preach the whole counsel of God. And then he told them, pulled them aside, and he said, listen, I want to warn you about wolves that are going to come into your churches. And I want to warn you and teach you that you need to be careful. You need to watch out for them. You see, folks, we preach Jesus Christ. We preach Jesus Christ crucified. But we also preach Jesus Christ, the wisdom of the ages. We preach Jesus Christ, the sanctifier of sinners. We preach Jesus Christ, the justifier. We preach Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. We preach Jesus Christ, the blood. We go through the whole word to give them the truth. And if you're only preaching one element, you're not preaching the word. You see, Genesis is just as much Jesus Christ as John 3:16. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, go through the entire Bible, and the thread is consistent. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And so when we preach and teach the creation, we're not preaching something contrary to His salvation. We are preaching Jesus Christ, the Creator. We need to understand that. And the warning ministry is so important. Now, if a ministry is all warning and no edification, then we've got troubles. We need to preach the whole counsel. That's why we endeavor at Grace Bible Church to preach through the books of the Bible so that we're not preaching our ideas or our themes. We're preaching God's ideas and God's themes. We're communicating His truth. We're communicating His glory in doing that. But along with that comes a ministry of warning. Let's look at these five photos here. Number one, the first Bible photo is of selfishness. You want to know what selfishness looks like? Well, we find that in verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Now, here we have the word spots. That's not a very good translation. As a matter of fact, the word is hidden reef, a dangerous hidden rock. You've heard of Petros, Peter, Petros. This is the root word behind spots here that's translated that way. We don't know why it was done, but it means a hidden reef. It's hidden either because it's unknown to the mariner or it's known about but not warned about. Whenever we go down to Russell Harbor Park here in Milton, you can sit up on the picnic tables there and look across Blackwater River. And you'll see all kinds of poles at low tide across the river. Now, at high tide, you don't see them. Back during Civil War days, they used to have all kinds of places for barges to tie up along Blackwater River, especially down toward where Carpenter's Park is now located. There's all kinds of poles that were driven down into the ground that were used as places to tie off the barges. Now, it's an amazing thing that from time to time you'll see somebody getting towed in to Carpenter's Park. Somebody will have a rope and they're back there bailing because somebody came around the corner there going into the slip on the what is the southern side of Carpenter's Park, and they'll run up on one of those at high tide. It'll tear a prop up. It'll bend it. It'll break the blades on it. And you got to know that. One of the things that Mr. Woods was so kind about was whenever I first got my boat back in the late 80s, I had learned how to ski. Mr. Woods had taken us boys up the river, and he'd always point out, now you need to be careful here. This is where some stumps are located. And here you need to be careful. When you go around this corner, you make a wide swing here because there's a lot of those pilings that are driven down in the ground. You don't see them now, but at low tide, we'll see them. And so I was able to steer around that. I never lost a prop because I had been what? Warned about the hidden dangers. All right, selfishness is a hidden danger. These are the hidden rocks or hidden dangers in your feasts of love. Now here's the picture here. It was a common meal, the love feast, was a common meal eaten by early Christians in connection with their church services for the purpose of fostering and expressing brotherly love. Remember, the churches met in homes, in the early days. They didn't have a church building in the first century. They met in people's homes. People opened their homes up. They would come to the home and they would have their services and they would prepare a meal and they would eat. What happened? It degenerated. Let me share with you this statement that comes from a well-known Bible scholar who researched this. Many Christians of the first century were slaves who did not have a great deal to eat, so the love feast was an occasion where poor and rich brought food to the local church, which was someone's home, and they had a fellowship time. In the beginning, the wealthy brought out of their abundance, and the poor people brought out of their scarcity. They all met to share their food and their love for the Lord. However, by the end of the first century, the love feast, which had begun so beautifully, deteriorated through dreadful practices. The poor were not allowed to eat. The wealthy formed cliques, and from there it degenerated into drunken orgies. These love feasts. What happened? Selfishness. Selfishness. Divide up. We're the wealthy. You can't have any part of this. Selfishness. This is one of the things that we have to know. This is one of the things that we have to see, folks. False teachers are selfish. Their motives are simply to gain. And that's the picture here. These are the hidden reefs in your feast of love when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Now this brings us to another point in regard to this Bible photo of selfishness. Let me give you the different translation of this particular phrase. They sumptuously feast with you without fear, as shepherds leading themselves to pasture. Let me say that again. Sumptuously feasting with you without fear, as shepherds leading themselves to pasture. Now that very thought right there doesn't make any sense. A shepherd's job is to lead sheep to pasture. But here we find that these shepherds are leading themselves to pasture. The New Testament shepherd relates to the church of Jesus Christ, which is spiritually fed by faithful under-shepherds. By contrast, these false teachers were not shepherding. There's three things involved in shepherding. There is feeding, there is tending, and then there is protecting. Those are the three jobs of a shepherd. He is to feed his sheep, he is to tend to his sheep, and he is to protect his sheep. But these false teachers were not shepherding. They were expecting support and giving nothing of any substance in return. All right? Selfishness. Is that not what we see today in the church? The ministry of the projector is a warning ministry because there are selfish people out there that are seeking to destroy the flock of God. That's the first Bible photo. What does it look like? It looks like selfishness. Hidden reefs right under the surface. You can't see it, but it's there. It'll destroy you. They're like shepherds. Instead of feeding their sheep, they're feeding themselves in the pasture. And who suffers? The sheep do. Let's go on to the second Bible photo that's given to us here. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Boy, that is a descriptive photo, is it not? What is it describing? Well, it's describing helplessness. Helplessness, a Bible photo of helplessness. Whenever you're like the people down in South Florida who are in drought conditions, everything from Orlando all the way down to the Everglades is under a severe drought warning right now. Terrible drought. They haven't had rain for months, but they've had clouds. There have been cloud mass after cloud mass that have passed over the southern peninsula of Florida. It looks like it's going to rain. I know as a child we used to hear more about cloud seeding. Anybody know what I'm talking about when we say cloud seeding? I think it's more out west that you hear about those kind of things where they'll take an airplane up into the clouds and they will dump a spray, a chemical out in there which will cause a reaction and produce droplets of water. Combining with, I don't know all the different things, scientists would have to tell you that, but it creates rain in the clouds in severe drought times. Well, people down in South Florida have been sitting on their porches watching clouds come by. and no rain. That is the most disappointing, helpless feeling in the world. To need water, to need rain, and heavy clouds pass overhead and blow on by, and no rain come. You see, a dark cloud is a promise of what? Rain. You don't see that promise in these little cirrus clouds that come. You know, the little whiffy ones that look like little brush strokes in the sky. You don't say, oh, there's the promise of rain from those clouds, because there is no promise. They're white and they're thin. You can see right through them. But when you see an old thunderhead off in the west building, and you start seeing the lightning come out of that, and it starts moving towards you. Boy, we've seen some of those over the years up here at the ballpark, watching them start to roll in, and you know what's coming. You better hurry up and get to your car, because it's fixing to let loose. But can you imagine seeing all that promise and then watch it come over, and the wind begins to blow, and those dark clouds race overhead, and they just keep right on going, and you never see a drop fall out of the cloud. That's a Bible photo of helplessness, and that's what a false teacher is like. A false teacher offers no help. They're all dark clouds with no rain. Oh, what a picture here. Promises, promises. Much offered, nothing given. There's a lawsuit pending against a faith healer who supposedly had laid his hands upon an elderly lady in the church who was dying of leukemia. And he laid his hands on her and he announced to the family, she has been healed. She has been healed. Stop her treatments. And the family stopped her treatments and she died. And they're suing this guy. This particular pastor has had numerous occasions. Why? Because he's a false teacher. But he's had numerous actions against him over the years, but he just keeps right on going. He is a cloud without rain. He offers help, but he can't deliver because he's a false teacher. Promises, promises. Good look, impressive, but no what? No rain. Oh, that's a Bible photo. Here's Bible photo number 3. Fruitlessness. What does fruitlessness look like? Trees whose fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Here's a fruit tree. Fruit trees are wonderful things to enjoy. I can remember some years ago, we went up through Indiana. I was with Dr. and Mrs. Hobbs, and we went up to a Christian school convention up in South Bend. And we were coming back, and we went by an apple orchard, and we went in there, and the trees were just loaded with apples. I don't think I'd ever really seen that before. I'd seen pictures of it. But the trees were just completely full of apples. And you could go and you could pick some. We just got some that were in a basket there. But I just thought about all those trees. And you just look down the rows and they were just loaded with red apples. I was talking with Matt Boyce this morning. He's from Spokane, Washington. And he said that their particular region is known for their luscious apples. And he said how much he missed that, you know, being away from that on his military tours and so forth. But an apple tree that's producing fruit gives promise for what? Next year. You expect it next year to produce fruit. Well, here we have a Bible picture of a tree whose fruit withered and then was without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. I used to have a pear tree in my yard. When we moved there, I was so excited. There were 2 pear trees. And I went and I dug around it and fertilized it because I wanted to see fruit. And we had fruit that first year. I can remember we went out there and we picked. The limbs were just hanging down low with pears. And we picked pears and we thought it was the greatest thing. Next year we had the black blight. The leaves were all brown, turned up. I went up there, I was clipping, trying to save what I could. No fruit. Next year we had the world's smallest pears. It was terrible. We went out there, and instead of the limbs sagging, they were straight up with a little bitty pears on it. So I fertilized again. I drilled those little pegs down in the ground with all the fruit fertilizers that I could do. Next year, no fruit. The following year was the last year. No fruit. And so I went out there with a chainsaw, cut it down. Get it out of the yard. Why? We wanted pears. We didn't want to sit around and say, look at the leaves, honey. Wow, I have a green thumb. Look at those leaves. I wonder if we can eat leaves this year. Pear leaf pie. No. We expected the pear tree to produce pears. We had one good year. And then after that, little bitty pears and nothing after that. And so we cut it down. It cumbered the ground. I was fertilizing for naught. It was useless. That's a picture of fruitlessness. And that's a picture of the false prophet. Autumn trees without fruit, uprooted, twice dead. No spiritual fruit. Beautiful perhaps to behold, but because they produced no fruit, they were uprooted and dried out, twice dead. Dead spiritually, dead eternally. Psalm 1 and verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know what that verse is saying? There's no autumn for the Christian. Have you ever thought about that verse? His leaf shall not wither. What happens every year to trees? They lose their leaves. Oh, at different times of the year, but autumn is a time when the trees lose their leaves. But for the Christian, we won't lose our leaves. We'll continue through, and whatsoever we do shall prosper. In the autumn of the church age, we find some pictures of fruitlessness. False teachers who are all talk and no fruit. That's a Bible photo we need to have in our album. In our spiritual album. Three pictures so far. Selfishness. Helplessness. Fruitlessness. And then we come to number four here. Shamefulness. Notice this Bible photo, please, in verse 13. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. I can remember as a child, we used to go down to the sound area. It looked a lot different back whenever we were children. I can remember looking across at those big, tall dunes over on Pensacola Beach. Anybody remember that? Used to see the old dune buggies going up over the top of those things, and the storms wiped them all out. The only dune that you see today is about 6 foot tall. They're all gone from what they used to be. But I can remember as a child, and we would go down there, and sometimes whenever the boats would be going through there, you'd walk along the shore, and there would be this brown, nasty foam. Anybody remember? I mean, Mom would say, don't get in that. Now, what was in it? Well, the petroleum products that had leaked out of the boats and the ships, the barges that went through that area. And they would all foam. All the stuff that was floating on top of the water would work its way over. And because of the crashing of the waves, it would create this nasty, brown, slimy foam. Well, that's the picture that's given here of a Bible photo of a false teacher. They are wild waves of the sea foaming up their shame, their disgraces. Isaiah 57 and verse 20 says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. That's the picture of a false prophet. No stability, easily influenced, nothing but foam, mire, and dirt, froth. Throwing themselves at the rock, which is Christ Jesus. That's the picture here we need to keep in mind of the false teacher. Shamefulness. Oh, at the list of those people who have taken the scene of history, television evangelists, radio preachers, they're a dime a dozen that have foamed up their slime against the rock of Jesus Christ. They're false. We have to warn. We have to warn. Do you have that Bible photo in your mind? Let's go on to the last one very quickly here because we want to have time for prayer. The last one is lawlessness. A Bible photo of lawlessness. Notice this, please. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. What descriptions that is used here by Jude? wandering stars. Now, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Do stars wander? Well, we've heard of falling stars. That's a picture that comes to our mind. But the Greek word here is planetes. Planetes. We get our word what? Planets from it. These are wandering stars. Stars that are like planets. That's the literal translation. Stars that are like planets. Now, planets revolve around a what? Star. They revolve around the sun, which is the star of our universe. But these stars are not like your own. They're not fixed. They're moving. Have you heard of an organized moving star? No. Not to my knowledge. They are supposed to be stationary, but these stars are not. They're moving. They're out of the ordinary. They give off their own light, but because of their wandering, which is the word for error in verse 11, asteris, which is another astronomical term, means to wander, to err, they cannot chart a straight path. It's an amazing thing. You go to these star charts and you can be able to determine where everything is located in our universe. Isn't that, you don't find the Big Dipper moving around. Now, we're moving. The Earth is moving. And I, whenever I was in India, I sat out in a chair up on top of the little parsonage that they had built there, looking up at the stars, stars I had not seen because I was now way down in the southern hemisphere. And I was seeing things. You could see just the edge of what we normally see here in Florida. But I got to see some of the constellations and stars and so forth that you wouldn't normally see because of our location. But they're always there. They're always there. But here we have the picture of wandering stars. They're lawless. They don't fit the mold. They're moving. They're wandering. Notice their end here. For whom the blackness of darkness has been reserved for them forever. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? Oh, what a terrible end. Judgment. Darkness. They showed forth their own light, but the blackest darkness is reserved for them. Now, folks, that's the false teacher. He is a Bible photo of lawlessness. Lawlessness against the government? No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about lawlessness against God. We need to be warned of these individuals. Wandering stars. Our world is full of them. Wandering stars, preaching their own light. Preaching their own idea, but they're never fixed. You can't find them. They move around. They're everywhere. Wandering stars. The ministry of the projector, God has raised it up through Dr. Hobbs founding it, and we continue that ministry into the future, the Lord willing, with a desire to expose these five Bible photos of false teachers because they are in the church. As Jude said, there are certain men crept in unawares. And then he says it again. These are the hidden reefs in your feast of love, in your church. We have to be warned. We have to be aware. As we conclude our service tonight, I want us to have a special prayer time. As we think about the ministry of the projector, we desire for God to lead and guide in every article that's written. And every word that is used in the projector would be used for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a great burden placed upon us. We have a great weight that we carry in regard to the proclamation of the Word. And we don't want to falter and fail under the burden. We want to be able to progress and to move onward. And we need God's wisdom. We need God's understanding. We need discernment as we face the issues of the day that are constantly coming on the scene. They're coming up every day. It's like a car going down the highway and cars passing. The devil is firing his ammunition at us at the church of the last days. And we need to be alerted to that, and we need to pray for God's sustaining hand. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you on Wednesday night.